The prophecy of Jeremiah in the first reading today is about the Messiah. Jeremiah begins by denouncing the leaders of Judah for scattering the people of God, who instead of gathering the people of God together and caring for them and leading them to a place of pasture, scattered them. But God, who is compassionate and merciful, will not allow his people to wander like sheep without shepherd forever. And so he decides that he will intervene. He says, I will gather the remnants of my flock from all the lands to which I have driven them. God himself will gather his people from wherever they have been scattered. And he will appoint a shepherd, a righteous shoot to David as king, who will take care of his people, who will nurture them and give them security. He says, in his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell in security. This is the image of salvation, a promise that will only be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. In the second reading, St. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, writes about the reconciliation that we have in Christ. He tells us that by the blood of Christ, that the blood of Christ has destroyed the dividing wall, every wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, and bringing up, creating one new humanity, a single family. That the blood of Jesus Christ has destroyed the division that sin brings, healed our enmity, and brought us together as one family. But unfortunately, modern man continues to build new walls, to construct new walls of division and hostility, based on race, based on ethnicity or tribe, and sometimes based on political affiliation. St. Paul is calling us in this passage to embrace inclusivity and empathy for one another. In the gospel reading, we read how the disciples return after Jesus sent them on a mission. Last Sunday, we read Jesus sending the disciples, and in this gospel is about their return. Now, in case you did not notice, there is a passage that is omitted, and it is this passage that narrates the story of the beheading of John the Baptist. The first question you want to ask is, why does John interrupt the story of the mission of the 12 to insert a flashback about the beheading of John the Baptist? John, Mark is a wonderful storyteller, and he has a special literary technique often called Markan sandwich, or more technically in intercalation, inserting a story in between two other stories. It's like when you are preparing a sandwich, you get your lettuce, tomatoes, and other things, you put it in between two slices so that the one inside will add, the zest will penetrate into the other layers to give a special flavor. And the ones, the bread itself will also permeate the one inside. When Mark does this, he wants to communicate something very important. Now, the top slice will be the story of the sending of the 12, and the lower slice will be the return of the 12. And what John inserts in between is the story of the beheading of John the Baptist. It's easy to discern what Mark is communicating, that the death of John the Baptist, the fate of John the Baptist, is the fate that awaits Jesus Christ and all those whom he calls and sends. That despite the success the blessing that may come from the apostolate, the death of John is a prefiguration of the faith of Jesus and the faith of all those whom he calls and sends. Now let us return to the gospel today. When the apostles returned to Jesus, he realized their need for rest. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." Now, when Jesus disembarked, he saw the vast crowd. His heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. This passage echoes the image of sheep without the people looking like sheep without shepherd, echoes the prophecy of Jeremiah in the first reading. The people were scattered because they were like sheep, and were like sheep without shepherd. And it also recalls the prayer of Moses in Numbers chapter 27, from 16 to 17. Moses prayed that God will give his people a shepherd who will lead them in and out and protect them, so that they will not be like sheep without shepherd. And so Jesus is revealing himself in the gospel today as the one who fulfills the prophecy of Jeremiah and the prayer of Moses, as the one who will shepherd God's people, who will nourish them, who will care for them and lead them not just to a temporary place of pasture, but to eternal pastures. Jesus is also showing, when Jesus said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while," Jesus is also teaching us the importance of rest and recollection or retreats. Without retreats, growth in spiritual life is impossible. Jesus himself frequently took time out to rest, to reflect. It's a moment to rest, to refresh, have quiet moments with God, and it's always a moment of spiritual growth. It is very important in our lives as Christians, no matter how busy we may be. Jesus is teaching us the importance of rest and retreat. But he also teaches us that at the heart of the apostolate, at the heart of discipleship, must be compassion and empathy. When Jesus saw the people who were like sheep without shepherd, his heart was moved with pity. He gave up his own need of rest and began to attend to these people. And so he teaches us that to be a disciple, we must always be ready to give up even our conveniences, give up ourselves in the service of others. He gave up his need for rest in order to attend to the people, to minister to the people who were like sheep without shepherd. And so as followers of Christ, we must always be ready to sacrifice. We must always be ready to give up little inconveniences to bring joy, to bring happiness, to bring life to others, especially those who are in need. But there is a perennial temptation to stand aloof and do nothing, even when we see some good that has to be done. There is a well-known phenomenon called the Genovese or bystander effect. It took its name from a young lady called Kitty Genovese, who was murdered right outside her home in a New York suburb in 1964. Dozens of people heard her cry for help, but nobody came to save her, and she died. In 4 years later, two social scientists studied this murder, and they staged several emergencies. John Daly and Bib Latin, they staged out several emergencies and calculated how much time it took for a participant to do something, if they did anything at all. And the results of their study shows that a lone bystander always responded quicker than persons in a group. People in a group tend more to think that someone else will respond, someone else will do it, someone else is better qualified to do it. Why me? And so in the end, sometimes nobody responds or response is delayed. The Church of Scotland pastor, George MacLeod, when he was the pastor of the Church of St. Giles, located in the High Street, Edinburgh, the church had a beautiful stained glass window that depicted the scene of the angels announcing to the shepherds the birth of the Messiah. And there is an inscription that read, "Glory to God in the highest." One day, a vandal threw a stone that knocked out E from highest. And so when you remove the E from highest, it now read, "Glory to God in the high street." Some people wanted to restore it, but he said, "No, leave it." And he made a lot out of it in his homilies, arguing that you cannot give glory to God in the highest unless you first give glory to God in the high street. My brothers and sisters, we must be men and women who embody the heart of Jesus, always ready to respond to those in need, compassionate, who have empathy, and ready to give ourselves in the service of others. Let us now rise and profess our faith. I believe in one God, Father.